The last time we were sitting in this garage doing this video, we actually hadn't even launched Dirty Civilian. We were still trying to relay, who are we, what are we doing here, and what's the purpose behind all of this? That video got launched. We shared a bunch of content that we had already filmed and edited and pulled together. At this point in filming everything, we're 3 weeks in, is that right?
Yeah.
That kind of dates us. I know you're not supposed to do that in media, but you know, we want to be genuine with you guys. So 3 weeks in, and the company is at a point where, total transparency, I think we hit some of our 6 month and 1 year goals in the first like 2 weeks of being active. So for all of the supporters on Patreon, those of you who have followed, subscribed, and shared on our social media platforms, reached out via email, companies that have reached out to us, if we have not gotten back to you guys, our apologies. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we've been a little stomped.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is a great problem to have.
It
but
is.
How you guys have responded to this has been pretty overwhelming and also very humbling and a little scary. In that we have a lot of eyes on us, and with that comes a responsibility. I could drop a really corny Spider-Man quote right now.
I know the
quote, but I'm not going to.
Okay, never mind.
All right.
Well. With all of that in mind, the topic of this podcast is going to be community. And we'll get to that. But I think, first of all, we should start with, in honor of one of our favorite podcasts, let's do a beef of the week. And what's the other one? Babe of the week?
Oh, no, it's stoke of the week.
Stoke of the week.
Yeah, stoke of the week and beef of the week.
And beef of the week. Do you have one or the other or both?
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's do beef of the week.
Beef of the week. My beef of the week is with Charles's driving. this past week, we took like a 5 day trip to the East Coast to do his media project. And for those of you who don't know Charles, he's a phenomenal videographer and very much a Renaissance man.
He can do everything.
He can do everything.
Yeah.
Like, he can build a house. He can fix your. He can run your electricity.
Yep.
He can. He can set up your camera. Like, he can. He can do everything.
Yep.
But he can't figure out how to excel. How to not accelerate and brake at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And on 16 hours on the road. That's my beef for the week. So Charles, if you're listening to this,
we love you.
I love you. But we're going to have to take some defensive driving courses here sometime soon.
We should do that.
Oh, we should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah. What's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is pistol braces.
Oh.
Now, okay. In a way, that's kind of backhanded because also I'm very thankful for pistol braces, and they've actually brought us a long way with like SB Tactical has done a phenomenal job of encouraging and pushing and influencing the industry in a lot of the right ways. It's gotten us to, I guess I can just leave it at that. Some of you know, as far as buffer tubes and some of those laws that have changed and things that the ATF has approved has really changed the industry over the past 5 or 10 years. But at the end of the day, man, my beef of the week is still pistol braces.
They do have one redeeming quality.
Okay.
Apart from, you know, the loophole, and that is they hold tourniquets really well. Some of them do.
True. Very true.
I was far past the point where I cared whether or not I had a stock or a brace on a gun, and I continued to use a brace because it fit a cat tourniquet perfectly.
Sure, yeah,
but
I get that.
That's like, where I see guys running braces without tourniquets, I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
What's your stoke of the week?
Stoke of the week has got to be the finale of The Last of Us. Probably one of the, if not the, one of the greatest games of all time.
Mm.
And just a timeless story. So you never played the game,
nope.
Did you?
Yeah. Nope. I appreciate the story. You continued watching after some of the scenes and episodes that were like, what are we doing with Ron Swanson here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they kind of ruined Parks and Rec for me.
Yeah, a little bit.
But the finale was so good because it was, you know, this broken man reconciling his past and kind of like being willing to give his life for another, and it was like it's like the total character arc that you love to see in stories and that you love to hear about in real life.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, it culminates to a point where he makes a decision that could cost the fate of humanity, which is, you know, a great stakes, right?
Of course.
But it's like, it's very human in that, well, what would you do?
Right.
What would you do for one person you cared about?
Yep.
And what's the right and wrong thing to do?
Yep.
So it's just... It stays true to the game. Like that last episode,
good.
Stayed so true to the game.
Good.
Didn't pull any punches. It was just, it was glorious.
I like it.
It was great.
Good.
It felt good.
Yep.
What's your stoke of the week?
My stoke of the week is, no one else can see it on camera here, but we've been riding dirt bikes around a bunch more recently, and we're all talking about getting bigger bikes, and let's get into, you know, 450s and all these different sizes, these full size big bikes. And then through stuff that's happened in my life, a Honda 50. I typically ride a 250, which is still a mid-size. It's not a big bike. This little Honda 50 is like, the handlebars are at knee level.
Yeah.
Tiny. And any one of us, Nick here sitting behind the camera, kind of a tall dude, watching you, Nick, sit on that thing with your kneecaps up to your ears is the funniest thing. It is so fun. And of course, you know, I got a baby on the way, and it's exciting to think like, okay, well, one day that'll be a little bike that baby's ripping around on. So that's fun too.
And Steve was on it earlier. Steve Winninger was on it earlier, and his big old chonky thighs were like, he almost like wrecked it because his legs were too big for it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so good.
Fun. Okay. Well, community. As soon as we launched this, a lot of people started reaching out about the fact that they too are hungry for a group of people that they can train with, not just train with, I shouldn't just leave it at that, but do life with. How do I find someone or some people who are interested in the same kinds of things as I am, same path of life as I am? Maybe they're married or they're not married. They're kind of a reflection of me. And if only I could have a group of dudes just like you guys have. And we've heard that for years, even before DC really got going. There was this goal and this desire, and I've had it too, to find that group of guys or even just one guy that I can go shoot with, train with, hike with, do life together, get family together, cook, share meals, all that stuff. And a lot of people have asked, where can I find a group of people? Are you guys going to start a way where I can punch in my zip code on the website? And immediately I'm going to find five friends that are all within walking distance of me to go do that kind of stuff with. And there's some tricks with that. And there's some concerns with that. So right off the bat, what concerns come to mind for you if anybody, any company, were going to start something up like that?
Well, my tinfoil hat comes out immediately, which is really funny because it's like the problem that I want to try and solve the most with DC is the thing that also terrifies me the most, which is I don't naturally trust people.
Sure.
And how do you actually create some sort of online database that couldn't also be immediately compromised?
Right.
I mean, the go-to is, how do I know someone's not a Fed?
Right.
Well, you don't.
Right.
You don't. And that's the biggest thing. How do we do this without being monitored? Not that you're even up to anything bad, but with the way this country and this world is going, laws are crafted to turn everyone into criminals, if not today, then tomorrow or 10 years from now.
Right.
So it's like you don't even have to be up to anything nefarious or unlawful for your privacy to be compromised. And in many ways, our privacy already is compromised to a degree.
Right.
So there's a little bit of freedom in that, well, you know, I'm probably already on some list somewhere. What's the worst that can happen? But, you know, the worst could always happen. And how do we do this without it being a target for individuals and entities that would seek to use it against us?
Right. And it starts to go beyond just the firearms as well.
Sure.
And we as DC, dirty civilians, we want to go beyond, as you guys have seen in a lot of the content, we want to start to go beyond the firearms. And so we're trying to mix in with other professionals abilities that things that we love to do in life, like dirt biking, like fishing, like camping, hunting, hiking, all that sort of stuff. And with that in mind, not only are we concerned about the firearms aspect, are you a Fed? Probably shouldn't say the C word, but the thing that happened in 2020 that everyone is aware of, YouTube probably wouldn't like it if we start talking about all that stuff. So you guys know what I'm talking about, the world life-altering event that happened in 2020. How do we know that there aren't other people outside of the ATF, outside of the FBI, that are trying to push information or jam things into your life in order to alter how you do life, or red flag laws that go beyond just the guns themselves, but other things like you have to wear a mask, you can't leave your home, tracking what you're doing and where you're going. There are a lot more concerns than just the guns themselves. And that's why we're very cautious and careful about that kind of thing. And there's another point, as strange as it sounds, it's too late for Drew and I. We are absolutely already on a list. And the best thing that we can do at this time is be open and honest and speak about this stuff, because we've rung that bell and you can't unring a bell. And so we're going to use our voice as best as possible. But for some of you guys, it's worth being patient, quiet, observing, sharing content via word of mouth, encouraging people in your own community. But to take us back, the original question, how do I meet people? And we touched on this a little bit in the first podcast, but how were people meeting each other before the internet? Because now it feels like the only way, you know, dating apps and dating websites and all that stuff seem like, well, now it's kind of the only way to meet people. Well, sure, it's an incredible tool and you can certainly use that, but how were people doing this before the internet?
They were just living their lives around other people. I mean, that's the simple way to put it. You know, like hobbies, common interests. I know you said before, like the internet, but also, it sounds stupid, but like gaming and doing things online and just talking to like subjects that have nothing to do with guns or training or anything like that, just living out your lives. Like, for example, so I started doing homesteading over the past year or two, and just from doing that, having to go out and find local farmers to get horse-grade hay to feed my goats, it's like you start to build relationships with these people that you have business interactions with, and you find out you're like-minded, you're connected with a common goal or common, like, interest, and slowly but surely, you're like, hey, that person I can kind of rely on, like, maybe we should have that family over for dinner. Whether it's like for me, it was getting involved in a new endeavor or a new hobby, and where that naturally takes me connects me with other people, and maybe 1% of them are like-minded. But that's kind of how you start, and that's how it's always been started. It's just meeting people.
And that's something that I paid a lot more attention to when I was still living in Oregon. I grew up there, and I was doing life going to the same places, the same coffee shops. I was going to high school. I was going to the same high school. You stop at the same spots. You know, after baseball practice, you go get a Slurpee or whatever it is that you're doing. You're going to the same places, doing the exact same things and interacting with the exact same people. You go to the same church that you grew up in. You have the same family friends. You do the same things. You play the same video games with the same people. And sure, you may interact with a variety of individuals, but you're not opening up yourself. If you don't have a group of people that you're meeting right now that you can start doing life with on a different level and sharing, hey, we're going to trade goods and services. You need help with something that's going on in your life. I am someone that you can call. I'd like to go shoot and get better at something, and you have those same interests as well. I want to invite you to come out and do those things. If you're not meeting those people now, going about your life, doing the exact same thing every single day, what's that term Albert Einstein threw out there? The term that kind of points to doing the exact same thing over and over and looking for a different result?
I don't know the term, but I know what you're talking
Insanity
about.
Insanity or whatever it is. It's like I'm doing the exact same thing, hoping for a different result. It's not going to happen. So one option is start changing something up. Go to a different church. Go to different restaurants. Go on vacation at different locations.
Honestly, just starting a new hobby. I mean, if there's something you've been that's kind of been weighing on you that you feel like you need to do or that you're interested in, it's like cut out some of the waste and some of the superfluous things in your life and start investing in something new, and that is naturally going to take you to new places and meet new people. And that's interesting, because to meet new people, it doesn't start with them. They already exist. Mm. It starts with you.
Yep, yep.
You have to be doing something different. Right. You have to be doing something of value. And you have to be someone that other people like and want to be around.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a matter of taking stock of your own bad habits and your bad character traits, which we all have them,
right,
and starting to work on those things. Because, like, for example, you could be, like, the biggest asset in the world. You could have all the cool toys, all the money, all the funding, all the stuff. But if you're a know-it-all, and if you're annoying to be around,
unapproachable.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And we know plenty of people like that.
Sure.
I mean, we've probably been like that at some point,
sure,
in our lives,
yeah,
when we were younger. But it starts with you. And, you know, I know a lot of guys who, we all know someone who, or we all know what it's like to meet someone and be able to immediately suss out whether or not they're trying to get something from us.
Yes, yes.
And that's one of the biggest things, is that if you go into this endeavor, if you go in trying to meet people, trying to find assets for you, they're going to smell that. And if not at first, then eventually, they're going to smell like, oh, they're going to sniff you out. Oh, they're trying to use me. They're trying to use me. They don't actually offer me anything other than encouragement, or, you know, tell me what I want to hear. You have to start with you, and you have to make yourself an asset, and that is going to be attractive to other people.
Yeah. So the first point is, in order to meet new people, if you're not meeting them right now, change up what it is that you're doing today. Go to a different gym, go to different places, shake up your life a little bit.
Start a new hobby.
And then point number two, which you brought up, which is fantastic, is you also have to be the kind of person that other people want to be around. And that can be painful to hear, because you also may not know it, but maybe you are already interacting with fantastic people and you'd love to connect with them, and they for some reason don't want to connect with you, or they're not inviting you to some of those events. And we have all been in those scenarios. You change a high school and you just can't break into that community, you can't break into that group, you're not invited to those events. You move to a different city or a different state, you change jobs, whatever the case is. If you're not the kind of person that others want to be around, you're not going to attract them and build community as well. And one of the best ways to start attracting community is by offering of yourself. So let's say that, just as an example, I don't know if this is something that you're already doing, but with homesteading, if you are unavailable to the neighbor down the road who is also homesteading, and they want to ask, hey, we're interested in goats or chickens or llamas, whatever it is that they're interested in, and they ask you, how did you build your fence? How did you build your solar-powered electrical fence systems? Or what are you doing to keep coyotes away from your chickens? And you are completely unavailable to answer their questions because you are too busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just missed opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge missed opportunity.
Exactly.
We get so busy that we just forget to just take care of people. You know, this may sound simplistic, and I'm not advocating that people should only do things that benefit other people. Like, you have to do things that benefit yourself also and make you money. You have to invest in yourself. But some of the best people that I've met and some of the most capable people I've met have been whenever I've volunteered to help out somewhere. Maybe it's a community event. Maybe it's like a mission trip or something.
Sure.
But like, that's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
There's plenty of organizations and plenty of places and events that just need people to help.
Right.
And that's a great way to meet other people who want to help.
Right.
It's honestly one of the easiest things you can do.
Yeah. And it could be something as simple as, hey, the wind blew over my neighbor's trash can. Mm-hmm. You have 5 minutes before you head off to work and you noticed it before the trash gets picked up. And you just go over there and you prop everything back up and throw it back in the trash can. Whether your neighbor sees it or not, you are investing into their emotional banking system. You're putting a dollar in. And that also grows on interest as money stays there, as you are investing into people. And it's, like you pointed out, yes, it in some ways, if you are only coming at it as in, well, I better get that money back one day, I better get that, you owe me now, that's not the goal. The goal is, I want to invest in you. And in doing so, I know that I am building relationship, and I have someone that I can call on if I need a hand down the road, if I have a question, if my wife is baking something and we need a cup of sugar or something like that, we at least already have an established relationship, because we knocked on the door that one time when a package was delivered and it was sitting out in the rain. Who knows, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
As you are investing into those people that are in your daily life, so I guess here's another point. Getting your head out of your phone, maybe you're already approachable and maybe you're already around people that you're not aware of. Getting your head out of your phone, not being so self-invested that you are moving too fast and unaware of the other people around you, their struggles, what's going on in their life. You may just be bypassing them because you are so self-obsessed. Now I'm talking to myself because I see those things in myself as well, but it's another huge opportunity to just, man, put the phone in your pocket and start interacting with people on a day-to-day basis. Ask the person that you're buying coffee from, how's your day going? What's going on in your world? Buy the person standing behind you in line a cup of coffee as well. Start interacting with people.
Yeah, it's, you know, some other low-hanging fruit here is, this may be a little niche, but it may only apply to a certain group of people, but the church that I grew up in, I don't go there anymore. I don't even live in that area anymore, but they have a like a disaster relief team.
Mm.
And so it's like a couple men in the church have like pooled their resources to have like generators, water, equipment, like certain kinds of just like some of them are just hand tools. So that anytime there's a relief effort that's needed, which is pretty much, it's pretty regular. I mean, sometimes they'll drive down to the coast. Other times they'll go up to Appalachia and do like just a renovation project. Sometimes it's tornado cleanup,
yeah.
Which happens around, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky all the time. That right there is huge. And that happens at a lot of local churches. So that's, you really just have to start looking.
Right. Yeah. So there's one other point that's kind of, I've seen this in myself, and we've talked about this a little bit too. People looking for other individuals, and I touched on this again when I started this out, they're looking for a copy-paste version of themselves. So for me, I'm looking for another person who's my same interests, same hobbies, they have night vision as well. They have the same guns. I want them to have a suppressor because I don't want to shoot around other people who don't have a suppressor. They are married. They have a kid on the way. They have a dog. They like to eat the same food as I do. They wear the same clothes. They have the same shoe size so that we can trade socks in case we're in the field. We run down this entire list. I don't know, man, but it's like, I want to meet the perfect person who is exactly like me so that we don't argue or complain about anything. The problem with that arises when you realize you don't need a clone of yourself because you have the same strengths and you have the same weaknesses.
I would kill the clone of myself.
Yeah.
I cannot.
I would kill the clone of yourself too.
Yeah, I know you would. So, fine, I kill the clone of you or even.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
No, I cannot. You're never going to find someone that's like you, and that's a very good thing.
Right.
You need to be looking for people that that need you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and our gun world gets so pulled into, well, if you're not a gun guy, if you don't conceal carry a Glock 19, if you don't have a 14.5 and a 10.3, and you don't have all the same convictions, not interested moving on. Instead, finding people like your local farmer who has a tractor and is able to help with tornado relief in the area. The guy who is a farrier and he keeps horses and he has a lot of knowledge around some of those things. You have goats. Some of those things may not necessarily apply between someone who's a specialist in horses and someone who has goats.
Sure.
But as soon as those relationships start to bond, even if that person's not a gun guy, you guys can start sharing and feeding off of each other and blessing each other, building community. And if the time may arise, you can start to encourage firearms wisdom and knowledge as well.
Yeah, well, it also helps a lot to clarify what your goal is for community. And I think a lot of people in our industry, the first thing they think of when they hear community and building a team is a group of guys that can take on the government together. Like, okay, yeah, if that's who you're looking for, you're going to have a really hard time finding people that think exactly the same way you do, because it is very rare. Most people are not there. And most people don't even have the time to invest in building a team like that for something that is far, far less, far less probable than other bad things that are going to probably happen before anything like that does, right?
Yep.
So it's like, clarify your goal. What kind of community are you actually trying to build? What kind of team are you actually trying to build? If you're just trying to build a team of, like, bangers behind the gun that can clear rooms together and, you know, and secure your entire neighborhood, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good goal to have.
Sure.
But maybe back up a little bit and think about more realistic or more valuable teams today or tomorrow, not 10 years from now if things get terribly worse. It's like your community should look like people who can just, like, feed each other or shelter each other or have a laugh together or have camaraderie together. That's where it starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially as we're talking about building things rather than breaking things, it's like that's what community is to me. It's not our six-man crew being able to, you know, clear a structure together. Like, okay, that's cool, that's fine, whatever. But that's not community.
Right.
That's a niche team.
Right.
That is far less valuable in the short term, especially than just a group of people who are taking care of each other.
Right. Yeah. So. Exactly. Well, even the military, that does an incredible job of protecting, defending, and also attacking, seeking, and destroying. All of the things that the military does, you can even take, just the Marine Corps, and you can have MOSs. And inside of those MOSs that are all supporting the mission, which is survival or whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish, you still have to have people who can transport explosives, and then people who can transport food, people who can filter water, people who can fix the trucks that are going to get water filtration systems and food and explosives and ammunition, people that can pass and collect information. There are so many different things. And sure, all of those people may still need to go through boot camp, at least have basic knowledge of firearms in general. What's the saying about how every Marine is a rifleman? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that they have to do. Great. Yep, that's a good goal to have. And when you're in the military, absolutely understandable. But even still, the military has different MOSs. And we as the firearms community have, in many ways, pigeonholed ourselves, like you said, into, well, I just need my six gun guys, and we're going to be fine. Well, what happened to surviving beyond the issue?
Yeah.
And that issue may be, back in 2020, there was a lot of conflict. At least, again, I keep bringing this up, but I was in Portland, Oregon. I saw a lot of security issues, being that I was 15 minutes outside of Portland. But man, what if the power goes off and water isn't safe to drink, and the power's been off for so long that the food in my refrigerator goes bad, and I need to start finding other means to filter water, find and take medicine if I'm sick, a whole plethora of things beyond just pulling a trigger.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the gun is... the firearms are a great, I don't know if litmus test is the right word for it, but like it's, you can kind of figure out where someone leans and where their head is at based on their opinion of guns.
Right.
In a weird way, but it's not, that's probably one of the last few things you're going to connect with someone on right off the bat. And if that's what you're starting with, you're not doing it wrong. You're just missing out on other skill sets that are going to be way more valuable to have in your back pocket both before and after whatever hard times are to come.
Yeah, and we have done some things in the past that have worked really well to connect people.
Yeah.
Like that post that I made before we even got this going, where I just threw in, you know, on a random post, I didn't think anything of it, just tag your location, throw your state or your city in there, and hopefully people can find each other. And I honestly thought that it was maybe two or three people would find each other, and it has like 3,500 comments.
Yeah.
It's insane. Huge. Yeah.
There's still posts on it like regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I am still getting DMs and messages of people sending pictures of groups of people with their friends and their wives and their kids all getting together. Guys go shoot, take care of kids and families. They are carpooling to church together. They're building relationships, and it has grown far beyond any of what I expected one Instagram post could be. So there are other opportunities, and we will be seeking out. We do have some plans, but we will be seeking out some of those chances to connect people even still.
Yeah. And just as like a final thought, you know, if, again, to reiterate, if you're looking for community within the firearms community and you're not finding it,
mm-hmm.
you need to get involved in another kind of community.
Right.
You need to pick up another interest, another skill set, and start looking there. I mean, the overlanding community is low-hanging fruit.
For
the
sure.
Homesteading community is low-hanging fruit. Anything that's like, anything that you see capable men doing to self-sustain or to be able to take care of themselves, that is, you need to look there.
Right, and here's three quick ideas on if you're like, nope, I'm desperate, I need to find a gun guy. I just want a buddy to go shoot with. Option one, go look for competitions in your area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys are literally signing up to go shoot and hang out with each other and spend a Saturday shooting and competing and having fun.
Yeah.
That's, and now there are so many different kinds of competition. If you're looking for pistol, three gun, long distance, whatever it is that your hobby is and you're interested in and getting better in, and you want to find people who have those same interests, find a local competition and go to those. So that's one option if you're looking for people who are looking for the same kind of community as you in the gun world.
And not all competitions are like these high stakes,
true,
like fast running guns that you see on the internet.
Right.
A lot of them are just like local, normal people having fun.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Not, it doesn't have to be some, it doesn't have to be some shooting event with massive egos and sponsors and all that stuff. They're not all like that.
Right.
They're mostly just normal people who enjoy shooting.
Yep, exactly. Point number two that I thought of was go to a gun store. I know a lot of us purchase firearms, and maybe we're buying them from a buddy, or we have enough of what we have. We buy ammo online and it gets shipped to the house. Go to a local gun store. Poke around. See what's new. Talk to the guy behind the gun counter. Ask him where he or she shoots. And as soon as you start to build those kind of relationships, who are the people that are going to gun stores in the first place? They're interested in the same stuff as you. So I haven't been to a gun store in years, I guess.
Mm.
Well, poke your nose in there and start meeting people, and just, you don't have to go there every week, but that's a really good place to start bumping into people as well and building relationships with some of those people. And then the third point that I thought of was, where are you shooting currently? If you have a place where you're like, well, I'm blessed to be able to shoot in my own backyard, you're not going to meet anyone there. Maybe you need to go to a public range or a private range and sign up and start meeting people. And the next thing you know, you find someone who has a cool-looking gun, they seem like they're a good shooter, they have a good head on their shoulders, and now you're meeting people who are doing the same things that you're interested in at the locations that you're just not going to.
Mm-hmm. There is a fourth.
Okay.
Milsim. Milsim events are great for this.
Yep.
We've met so many people. It's really funny, at one of the last events that we went to, we ran into a group of guys that recognized us, and what we talked about wasn't guns. It was, hey, you're doing homesteading.
Yeah.
We do sheep. We do chickens.
That's right.
And they're like, 3 hours south of us.
Sure.
So it's like, That too is low-hanging fruit, and a lot of the guys that go to that are of a similar mindset and similar interests. So, yeah, it's that to me is actually probably a better. I think I've met more people at those events that I jive with and that I'm on the same like mindset level with than anything else.
Totally, I agree. Yeah. Yep. Well, there's a couple of tricks for you guys as far as how to meet people, where to meet people, and as hard as it sounds, also, you may need to change a little bit about who you are too. It applies to all of us. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a know-it-all. You don't have to say, yep, I have experience in all of those things, and I know everything about this. Be humble when you don't know something, and also ask questions. The guy who is willing to say, hey, would you please teach me about that kind of thing, starts to become approachable. Go to different gun stores, get your head out of your phone, start competing, going to some of those events, and yeah, Milsim is an awesome opportunity to meet like-minded individuals.